See if I can share screen. You betcha. You got it. Okay. We are talking about the space between, and we have been in John chapter 14, and we had just talked about how looking to Jesus is what we need to be doing in this space between. If we look at any created thing, we can become like that created thing. But if we look to Jesus, we'll become like him. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. We have this partnership with the Holy Spirit. And so we're in this season of being a dwelling place of God. And so because Jesus lives, we will also live. So what does it mean to live? Jesus told his disciples, it's important that I go, because I live, you will also live. And he wasn't just talking about a promise in heaven to come way far away. He was talking to them about him coming to them in the form of the Spirit of God in them, upon them, with them. So we can expect Jesus to manifest himself in our lives daily. So we have eternal life. When I was doing the training with the students in Colorado, you know, we just did activations, not just on the prophetic for information. We did activations of God's manifest presence. And they had never done that before. And they were quite shocked at how ready, available, and present the Holy Spirit is. And so even as I've been here in Portugal, again, we're dwelling places of God. The manifest presence of God is available to us. And so we're in this space between what was, we call that 2019, and now we don't know what's next. So just trying to apply this in some practical everyday life. Here I am in Portugal. The churches, we're wearing masks in churches here, just like the global is. But there's a very high expectancy of what God is doing in this present moment. And we're experiencing God's manifest presence. So even tonight, as we're going through this teaching, we just say yes to your presence, Jesus. We thank you that you told us that in every space between, we're a dwelling place of you. And that you are doing great things in the earth. And we have expectations. We have hope of what you're going to do. But we have a great expectation of you tonight. And we thank you that the future of the world is not determined by what's going on underneath the feet of the body of Christ. The future of the world is determined by what's going on in the body of Christ. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. We're above principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, and names. And so Jesus made that possible as we talk about this in the words that he said to his disciples as he was about to be crucified. So we can expect Jesus to manifest himself. So in John 17, which is one of the words, one of the places of the words in the space between the supper, where the presence of God was no doubt strong, and his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John 18. But in John 17, we'll look at this in a couple of sessions a little deeper, but I want to address this right now, because to be the place of God's manifest presence is to know God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son. So Jesus said in 17, verse 1, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, he shall give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, and then in verse 4, I've glorified you on earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. He hasn't been crucified yet. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had, which was with you. And so eternal life is not something that starts in heaven. Eternal life is something is a relationship with the Father and with the Son. We have eternal life right now. We don't just have life. We have eternal life. So I'm in the space between. I don't know what's next, but I'm okay. Why? I have right now a connection to God as my Father, and I'm increasingly knowing him. And I have a connection to Jesus even more than the disciples had with Jesus at the time he said these words. They had this connection after he rose from the dead and came to them again in the form of the Spirit in them, upon them, and with them. He wasn't talking about coming again 2,000 years in the future. He was talking about his coming to them for salvation, coming to them for his presence, not just with them in the room, but in them, upon them, and with them in a greater way. We saw last week, we said that Philip questioned. He said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you haven't seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But, you know, when Jesus came again to Philip, he saw what he could not see with just Jesus in the room. So here we are in 2021. Do we see Jesus? Do we have eternal life? Are we seeing Jesus in this space between, or are we distracted by the things that are going on in the world? We should be seeing Jesus. The more we see Jesus, the more we become the altar of heaven that brings God's influence into the earth. I have great expectation. I was teaching here. I've been recording video for the last couple of days for another training course. And the course that I did was a revelation of Jesus Christ, a view from heaven. And so I was going this, my translator was getting lots of revelation as she was translating for me. We talked a revelation of Jesus Christ. When you have a revelation of Jesus Christ in the form of the Spirit of knowing, which is what's going on in the earth right now, it's when things get really messy. It's when it biblically in the foundation of the church, as John received this revelation of Jesus Christ and he saw the opening of the Spirit of knowing, and it was happening in the first fruit church, it caused there to be offenses. My internet's unstable. Hopefully you can still see me. But it caused there to be offenses, judgments, defilements, insubordinations. It caused there to be apathy. It caused there to be atrophy. And it caused there to be a decreation of that which was not Christ. So right now we can expect in the present grace, the things that are not the result of seeing Jesus are going to be destroyed. And so if we hold on to the things that we think are Jesus, we might be in for a rough ride. And so if we embrace Jesus in the midst of this and we become a manifest presence of him, we can find glory that we haven't seen or heard or thought before. So it's important that we keep our eyes on Jesus. And so we look to him. And so to embrace the Spirit of Christ in our lives today is to destroy the power of death today. It's to destroy it tomorrow and in every place to come. Holy Spirit in you and me inspires us to call out for the testimony of our husband, our head, to come, to be with us right now. Jesus will manifest today in our lives. And I believe this with all my heart as we call out for Jesus, our husband, to come into our lives. We have this idea that our husband is coming in the future. So we're going to call out for him to come. Please bail us out. We're in trouble. But I believe we're joined to him right now. The Spirit and the bride say, come. He's not coming back for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle so he can marry her. That is not scripture. Ephesians 5 says he's joined to a wife and he doesn't see any of her spots, blemishes, or wrinkles. Says he brings her alongside of himself in everything. When Revelation 22 says the Spirit and the bride say, come, it says, let him who is thirsty come and drink. Let the rivers of life flow. It's a foundational truth in Christ, not just a future promise. You are already clean enough for Jesus to marry you. It's being married to Jesus that makes you clean. We're going to see next week when we talk about the purpose of God's word in our lives in this space between. But the purpose of God's word is not to make us clean. It's not when you get to be clean enough that you're lovable enough that he'll join himself to you. Right now, tonight, or tonight for you, you're Tuesday night. I'm already Wednesday day. So I can tell you there is a Wednesday. I'm in Portugal Wednesday day. So right now, I'm telling you that He wants to join himself to us in a greater way if we're willing to fix our eyes on him and join ourselves to him in this space between. Not join ourselves to the troubles of the world, not be shaken by the troubles of the world, but to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus made a way for us to have eternal life, a relationship with God as our Father, a relationship with Jesus, to be the place of his presence, so that we can know that Jesus didn't come. He says in John 17, we saw, I finished the work, Father. He hasn't died on the cross yet. What work did he finish? He just demonstrated being a dwelling place of God on planet Earth to his 12 disciples, 11 of whom are in the room with him now when he's talking these things. The only one that's not there is the one that was the betrayer for the purposes of God. It was in his heart to betray, and God used that. He used the plot of the enemy to be turned for good for the purposes of us. Jesus didn't come to die for our sins. He came to reconnect us to the Father, but he had to die for our sins for that to happen. But to connect us to the Father would cause us to be like Jesus in the room with his disciples here. We become a dwelling place, because in my Father's house, he said, there are many dwelling places. So we're a dwelling place. Right now, I'm a dwelling place of God right here in Portugal. I'm here, and where I am, he is, and where he is, I am, in an increasing way. And so I believe what we're coming to a place of understanding that more and more. In the midst of our challenges of isolation and separation, we're having to fix our eyes on Jesus and realize that he's the one that we're a manifest presence of. And so we want to receive that fully. So in John 14, after Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and after Jesus says, see me, he says in verse 22, Judas, not the betrayer, but the other Judas, he says to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him, not sometime beyond this life, but in life, we will come to him, we'll make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And so now, keeping the commandments doesn't empower us to love God. Loving God empowers us to keep the commandments, to do what he says. So he says, I'm going to make our home with the one who loves me, does what I say. So it isn't a matter of disciplining ourselves to keep the commandments. It's a matter of being connected to the one who loves us to the point that we have a growing revelation of his love. And if we have a growing revelation of his love, we're eagerly willing to do what he says, to listen to him, to respond to his commands. And he comes to us. The more we have a revelation of his love for us, the more we're willing to do what he says to us, and then the more willing he is to come to us. It's not like we're bribing him. It's that he sees the hunger. He sees the place. Oh, yeah, that is a dwelling place of me. And the Father and Jesus, who are eternal life, say, yes, we're coming. We're going to dwell with you. So I hope right now in 2021, that you are experiencing the presence of the Father, the presence of Jesus, and the connection of Holy Spirit more than ever before. If we're not, then it means we're fixing our eyes on something different than the one who is so willing to come and abide with us and live with us in this. I told you last week, when we come together as a church, as a community, that doesn't cause us to become a dwelling place of God. Sometimes we lean on that crutch. We say we got to come together so we'll be a dwelling place of God. And so then when we do come together, we're extremely needy. I need you to do this for me. I need you to do this for me. Pastor, I need you to do this for me. And fellow believer, I need you to do this for me, because I haven't been a dwelling place of God all week and I'm finally getting to be. Just maybe that crutch is being destroyed right now. And maybe we need to grow up in Christ. Maybe we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Maybe we need to get really intimate and personal with Jesus and the Father so that we become a dwelling place of God. Then when we do come together, which God does want us to come together, but we don't come together to be a dwelling place of God. We come together because we already are a dwelling place of God. And now we're a dwelling place of God in a greater way, because we've come to reveal the one who abides in us together now. So it doesn't just happen when we come together. We become more of a celebration place of his community. I believe.
A minute, he'll come back. There he is.
I said, just like Jesus, he said, I'm coming back. Don't be distracted by the I'm coming back. If you're eager, you're hungry for me. Right now, we're dealing with the internet. There's a little isolation, a little separation. But he said, we're a dwelling place. And so this dwelling place in Portugal promises, I'm going to keep looking for you if I get out of the internet here. Okay, so now let's continue on. So Christ in us empowers us to be who he is. Christ in us empowers us to be keepers of his word. It's not keepers of his word that makes him Christ in us. It's Christ in us that makes us keepers of his word. And then we experience the acceleration of his presence. Now, true peace is not peace where there is not peace where there is no peace. We're in the world right now where there is an absence of peace. Matter of fact, I've discovered that even just driving down on the road, sometimes you just get this feeling of anxiety. Has that happened to you in Canada? All of a sudden, you're just overwhelmed with this anxiety. Raise your hand. Anybody had that happen in Canada? Yeah, and it's not you. You just feel this. You feel like, you want to blow your top, or it's just like, that's what's going on in the world. Okay. Now, that is not what's going on in the dwelling place of God. That is not you. That's your opportunity to be a dwelling place of God in the midst of a world that's feeling anxiety right now, because there's lots of fear. And as the body of Christ, as the dwelling place of God, as the dwelling place where Father abides, Jesus abides, we don't need to be shaken by what's going on in the world in this space between. We are the healing place. We are the light. We are the life. And so let's look at what Jesus said concerning our peace. He says this to his disciples. So in John 14, in verse 25, he says, these things I've spoken to you. He's speaking to his 11 disciples, which then makes it also true for us. He said, I've spoken this to you while being present with you, while in physical form as a human, he's saying to them. He said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Jesus said lots of things to the disciples that they couldn't remember, because he was with them, but he wasn't in them. But when he would come in the form of the helper and be in them, they would remember those things very clearly. And so when they wrote their gospels, when Matthew wrote his gospel, he is expressing, and when John wrote these letters, he's expressing things that he's not remembering by information. Holy Spirit is bringing to remembrance the things that Jesus said in a way of revelation, same way he speaks to us. Then in verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you, not peace the way the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, and my Father is greater than I. Then he says, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now, Jesus is telling the disciples, it's important that I go so that I can come again. That is not the second coming 2,000 years in the future. That's a matter of days when the disciples are about to be shaken by a terrible situation, the crucifixion of Jesus. They're going to feel abandoned, but then Jesus is going to come to them, and he's going to spend time with them in that space between the resurrection and his ascension. We don't know what happened in those 40 days, but in that space between, in private times, some amazing things happened. John said you couldn't even write the books. It wouldn't contain everything that he said about the kingdom of God. And I believe he was including that 40-day period because the disciples had changed between the hidden room and the upper room. They were ready for the promise to come. And they had a confidence and a boldness that was ready for what Jesus said would happen. Jesus came in them. Jesus came upon them. Jesus was with them. And they had a greater revelation than they had when Jesus was in the room. So I'm going to say right now, in this space between 2019 and 20 whatever, this is, I don't know what's going to happen in 22. Is 2022 going to be a different season, or is it just a bigger 2021? I don't know. But I know right now he is wanting to manifest himself to us in a greater way than ever before. And he wants us to have peace, not as the world gives peace. We have peace. Peace is where there's absolutely no separation between us and God. We need to get this revelation like right now, tonight for you, tomorrow for me. I'm already in tomorrow. And so today, I'm not going to be shaken by the spirits that come against me from the outside in, because I have a Holy Spirit that's one with my spirit, the Spirit of God from the inside out. And my kingdom, my life is increasingly manifesting as a kingdom of my Lord and Christ. And I have no need to be afraid. I don't need to be troubled. I'm a dwelling place of God. And he's not going to leave me. He's going to increasingly be in me. And so I have to keep my eyes on Jesus. Now, my eyes that are on Jesus are not my physical eyes. That's the windows of my soul. That's how you see where my eyes are fixed. If my eyes, as the window of my soul, don't manifest that I'm a dwelling place of God, then what's happening is I have the eyes of my soul as doors. I have these eyes as doors to my life. They're not doors, they're windows. They're windows by which you can see what I'm looking at. But the eyes that he's talking about here is the eyes that Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that your spirit would be looking to Jesus, that your soul would be inspired by your spirit, flooding it with what comes by the manifest presence of God. There is no gap between us and God. We are not in trouble right now. Now, are the nations in trouble? Well, it wouldn't matter what the nations do politically. It wouldn't matter what the nations do in the natural, in the kingdoms of the knowledge of good and evil. It wouldn't matter how the nations embrace right or how they embrace wrong to determine how they're doing. They're not doing good. They need to turn to Jesus. But there is a testimony of dwelling places in Canada dwelling places in the Kootenays, dwelling places in Portugal, dwelling places in America that need to fix their eyes on Jesus and know that they don't need to be troubled. That doesn't mean we don't exercise our right in the natural to do natural things that help natural situations. We don't just say, well, we don't do anything in our Canadian citizenship, or we don't do anything. It doesn't mean we don't do anything in our citizenships, but we also are not distracted from our heavenly citizenship. Okay, so we good. I'm back. You got me? Thumbs up. You got me. You're hearing me. Have I returned? Maybe I have a delay. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm returning. My internet connection. Okay. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm returning. You see, it constantly says here of the Portuguese internet, it says the Portuguese internet is unstable. But the Kingdom internet is very stable. Don't let your heart be troubled. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We're in the space between. Maybe we're getting a prophetic illustration tonight to not be distracted by the things that are shaking in the world. I see this message comes up. Internet unstable. Okay, that is prophetic. Yes, the natural internet is unstable. If you trust in Facebook, it's unstable. If you trust in Google, it's unstable. But if you trust in Jesus and you look to Jesus, we are in a great hour right now in this space between. Okay. So now let me go back and share screen, see if this works. Maybe I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to not share screen. And I'm going to pop those up. I will put those PowerPoints in later unless I need to share a screen. But I'm going to try bringing it up on here a moment. And I'm going to read it to you because maybe we'll get a more stable condition if you can see your, if you can look at a dwelling place of God rather than a PowerPoint. So I'm going to try this. So we have to not let our hearts be troubled, but we fix our eyes on Jesus. So Jesus had even said this in another place. He said that the criteria for following him was not to follow him, but to be a dwelling place of him. Matter of fact, you remember in Luke chapter 9, in verse 57, there was a man who came to Jesus and he said, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus said, well, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Okay, now, what was Jesus saying? I've talked to you before up there in the Kootenays on this. He wasn't saying, if you follow me, you won't know where you're going to sleep tonight. He was saying, I don't need you to follow me. I need you to become a dwelling place of me. I'm looking for a place to rest my head. Are you it? The fox has a hole. That's where the fox lives. The bird has a nest. Now, no government, no circumstance built the fox a hole. The fox knew to build a hole. You know what? Some years are hard for foxes and some years are easy for foxes. I'm pretty sure that some years are more snowy and some years are cold and some years are warm. And sometimes it's just a pain to be a fox, you know, because the year is tough. And then you have an abundant year for foxes and they just do great. But in any year, a fox knows that the space between a good year of four foxes and the space between another good year for foxes is still a time for foxes. And so, hey, they seek a dwelling place to do fox stuff. A bird, hey, they know that to be a dwelling place for a bird, they need a nest. And man, I talked to my wife the other day. She told me the wind is blowing over that way. Man, we had wind blows, we had power out. I bet it's tough being a bird when the wind blows like that. And maybe there's some spaces between good seasons for birds and bad seasons for birds, but birds still grab sticks and birds still build nests because they know that they need a dwelling place for birds. So you know what? It's a dwelling place for God right now. this space between is a time when Jesus wants his headship on his body. He wants to inhabit the dwelling place on the earth. And so he wants to rest his head upon us, as he told that man. And so, and then he not only wants to rest his head upon us, he wants us to be focusing not on burying the dead, but he wants us to be focused on the living. He wants us to be expressions of the living, because after the man said, "Well, follow you," Jesus said, "Well, I don't need you to follow me. I need a place to rest my head. Are you it?" And then he said, Jesus said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me." So now that we're a dwelling place, that's when we follow Jesus. We don't follow Jesus to become a dwelling place. We follow Jesus because we are a dwelling place. And in that place, we don't get distracted by having to bury the dead. Jesus wasn't saying, "Don't ever go to a funeral again." The guy said, "I got to go bury my father." Well, he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." He wasn't saying, "Don't go to a funeral anymore." He's saying, because you're a dwelling place of God, following me is about being a dwelling place of God. It's not about knowing and trying to fix all the dead things in the world. Well, I can't do everything. We can't do everything right now, God. We have a COVID distraction going on. How can we be a dwelling place of you? We'll be there in a minute. You know, we'll be a dwelling place when we can come back together fully. Or we'll be a dwelling place of God when you get everything fixed in the corporate church. Then we'll be a dwelling place of God. No, we'll be a dwelling place of God right now, because we're not distracted by the dead things. We're focused on life-giving things. We are a place where you live, Father God, a place where you live, Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus said in that parable about the fox and the bird, Jesus puts his head on us. We become a dwelling place. He says, "Follow me." We don't get distracted by having to bury the dead. We follow him. We become expressions of him, because in him we live, but also in him we move. We become expressions of him. He's our God, but we're God people. But then Jesus says to them, another came to him and said, "Lord, I'll follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family." And he says, "What do you mean? Say goodbye to your family? You need to be all in on this." You see, it's a partnership with God. You find this in Luke 9:57 through 61. But it's a partnership with God. Right now in the space between, we have a partnership with God. Jesus and the Father are abiding in us. The headship of Jesus rests on us. We're his body, not our body. And so everything's okay. We have peace. Not as the world gives peace. We got peace as God gives peace. There's no separation between us and God. So now that we have Jesus resting as the head of our lives in this space between, he's the word. Hey, we're the voice. We're expressions of him. We're not trying to bury the dead, fix what's wrong in the world. Hey, remember, the world doesn't see him. The world doesn't know him. We're not here to fix what's wrong in the world. We're here to cause the world to want to be a dwelling place of God. I need to say this again. Okay, we are not here. Jesus didn't come to fix what's wrong in the world. Jesus came so that every person in the world would become a dwelling place of God. That will fix what's wrong. We saw last week, the world does not see him and the world does not know him. We're not here to condemn the world for not seeing God and not knowing him. They don't see him. They don't know him. How can we condemn people who don't see him and don't know him? We have to become people who do see him and do know him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do the stuff that we're supposed to do as citizens of Canada or citizens of America. But we don't get distracted by that citizenship. We empower the citizenship of sons and daughters of God. Are we a dwelling place of God in this space between? Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Is Holy Spirit in us, upon us, and with us? Do we see Jesus? Do we realize we have a peace that surpasses understanding? There's no gap between us and God. And are we fixing our eyes in that place to be that place? We're the place of his habitation. Yeah. So we got to know who we are. We've been given a gift. I got to tell you, spirit of knowing, I told you it's a messy move. It's going to get messier because the world is shaking. But this is not a time for the kingdom of God to be shaking. Now, you are not totally the kingdom of God, but you have the kingdom of God in you. Father God dwells with you. Jesus dwells with you. We have the kingdom of God in us. We have righteousness in the Holy Spirit, peace in the Holy Spirit, joy in the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus is the way. You want to know how it is on Wednesday? I'm in Portugal on Wednesday. I promise you, Wednesday is the same as Tuesday. Jesus is the way. Okay. I promise you, I'm in Portugal on Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you, just like Tuesday, Jesus is the truth. Okay. The internet can be unstable, but Jesus is the truth. Okay. I'm on Wednesday, you're on Tuesday, and I'm going to promise you that on Wednesday tomorrow, when you get to Wednesday, Jesus is the life. In him you live, in him you move, in him you have your being. And in you he lives, in you he moves, in you he has his being. Because where we are, he is, and where he is, we are. We are in a grace of becoming the people of God, the community of God. It's good that the internet is unstable. It's good. We got an illustration tonight. It's good. Matter of fact, it's gotten a little more stable now that I quit going to the PowerPoint. You're seeing my face. We got a little more stability. Maybe we should see one another more than we see the problems in one another. Maybe we should see the Father and Jesus more than we see a shaking world. What do you think you're going to see if you look to a shaking world that's shaking because the unshakable God is causing it to shake? What do you think you're going to see? You're going to see, well, wait a minute, I'm going to lose power here in a second if I don't plug this in. I see low battery. I'm trying to stick with you. See, in the world, there's even low batteries, but I think I'm okay here. Did I come back on? You're going to still hear me because I'm getting up from my seat, going in this room, looking at the source of the power to make sure that it's true source. Okay. I'm going to be right back. You hearing me? I'm just walking away from the screen, but don't let your heart be troubled. I am with you. Coming back. I am with you. I am coming back. You see? Again, once away, I walked away with my face away from you, and look, things became unstable. And it's better that you see me. I think it's more stable. It's better that we see Jesus right now. It's better that we see one another than look at our differences. Maybe we should look at we're dwelling places of God. So, the Holy Spirit is doing a work of Jesus and a work of the Father in our lives. And he's God with us. He's God in us. He's God upon us. In John 14, Jesus said these words to the disciples. Let's let him say this to us right now in the midst of this shaky night. Listen to this. Okay. It still says my internet's unstable, so it could shake again. But listen to this. In the midst of a shaking world, Holy Spirit, would you speak this to us right now? Jesus, would you speak this to us right now? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Okay, everything I need to know today on Wednesday is Holy Spirit is my teacher. He's not teaching me in forms of information. He's teaching me in intimacy. He's teaching me in a way that changes me. He's teaching me in a way that causes me to be a dwelling place of God. And he is bringing to remembrance all the things that Jesus said to his disciples. So, or all the things that he's even said to us in our lives. We are dwelling places of God. We have a helper, the Holy Spirit. And so we need him to teach us. Jesus said that out of our belly would flow rivers Okay, I'm coming. I'm come back. I'm waiting for you to come back. I'm going to see about something. Okay, I've come back. I'm waiting for you to come back. I have a couple of you on the screen. I'm looking for more. Okay. I don't know if we're going to make full connection here now with the internet. I'm hoping so. We have a frozen screen. I don't know. I'm hoping we can get to the point where you can ask some questions. I have said the content of what I want to say.
Yeah.
All right. So I've shared with you the content of what I want to talk about tonight. And that content is that we need to not be shaken by the things that are going on in the world, but we are dwelling places of God. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our only teacher. Okay, I'm going to say this on behalf of us right now. Holy Spirit, you are here in the name of Jesus in my life right now. You are here in the character, the nature, the way, the power, and the authority of Jesus. You are here in the substance of him. And when Jesus walks into a room, the room changes. When Jesus walks into a distracted room, there is focus. When Jesus walks into a sick room, there's healing. And Holy Spirit, you're here in the name of Jesus. And Father God, you also are here because you abide in him and you abide in us. And Holy Spirit, you are our only teacher. We have peace, not as the world gives peace. And so we can expect the world to be shaking. They can't see you. They don't know you. But you're not shaking. And we're not shaking. We are not in trouble. In the world, there is tribulation. In the world, there is trouble. But be of good courage. Holy Spirit, you're here. And you're here in Jesus' name. And Jesus has overcome the world. And so we have this helper. So on behalf of all of us, I say, Holy Spirit, you are my only teacher. You are my only teacher. You transform me from the inside out. You teach me by causing me to have right thoughts, right desires, right imagination, right emotions, right reasoning. You change the throne of my life. You make it so that I live in you. And so I'm a dwelling place of you. Now, does anybody have any questions for me? The name on the screen. And I'll try to address those.
Unmute your mic if you have a question.
Now, I do promise that next week I'm back in Bellingham. I arrive home on Tuesday. And so I will be online from my strong internet connection that I have in my front room, and we'll have it more clearly. And so the week after that, I'm back in Bulgaria. So I don't know. I hope it will be okay. But next week I'm back in my front office. So I will be arriving home a few hours before I go online, which I think is a little better than waking up at 3 a.m. on the next day, but we'll see. So anyway, if you want to ask anything, I realize it's a little bit tough tonight, but.
Ted, I just want to say how much we appreciate that you do this right now.
Oh, my privilege.
I also agree with that. I just really do appreciate it and appreciate the series up to now.
Very good. Very good.
Can I ask a question that's off topic of what we've been talking about?
Sure.
I've been learning about intercession a little bit, and I feel like I don't know very much, but like my hairdresser that I've been going to for many, many years, I led her to the Lord a few years ago, and we've prayed, and then it's been a while since we prayed, but her son is getting bullied at school and her sister died of opioid overdose. And he's very similar to the sister and has some of the same curses as the sister. And so I told her that I was going to pray for her. And so I was as her. I came to God as her, as her blood. I mean, I have no idea. I was honestly operating in faith. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I was just, you know, I was coming to God as her bloodline to break off the curse, the curses.
Yeah.
And I was just, is that correct? Like, is that, like, I really felt like I wanted to text her and go, you let me know, because this is like, it felt really, it felt very powerful, but I was just wondering, what do we have authority to in that area?
Well, she asked you to pray for her. She gave you permission to pray for her.
I told her that I would, and she wanted me to, yeah.
Okay, so she doesn't see God. She doesn't know God the way that you do, right? Correct?
Right, yes.
So she's the world. She doesn't see, she doesn't know. She's asked you to pray. And so I think the guiding of the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray on behalf of her. She still has to make that connection, but you're interceding. You're putting a foot in heaven and a foot in her life that she gave you permission to do. And you're inviting God into that. You're prophetically bringing that into that place. I would trust the leading of the Holy Spirit in that. She's still going to have to get the transformation in her life, but you're being guided by the Holy Spirit on her behalf. You're not substituting her, but you're interceding for her. And so I don't have a problem with
that. Right.
Okay. And again, you got the Holy Spirit guiding you.
Yeah. And the focus was on her little boy who was being bullied at school. And it was exactly the same way her sister was bullied. And so he, because he's little, I mean, I was praying that he would encounter God, obviously. But that would apply to him too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I can't get in.
You got mom's permission. You got authority's permission there. So you're interceding in a little deeper way. Now, as we're talking about this, these are areas we have to be careful, because we create methods when the Holy Spirit guides us into unique places. The Holy Spirit is guiding you into a unique place, not necessarily meant to be a method for the body of Christ in how you intercede, and not necessarily to be a method of how you intercede in the future. But it's how Holy Spirit has you interceding in this particular case. I think our relationship with God is more of a dance than it is a method. And I think being a dwelling place of God is a dance with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us. When the Holy Spirit teaches us, it doesn't mean he wants us to create methods with what he teaches us. As near as I know, Jesus only spit in a man's eye once. He didn't go around spitting in everybody's eye and didn't make the ministry of mud in the eye. You know, it was a unique situation. And so I think we have to be, I think we have to be more unique than always the same. Now, we don't violate the principles of God. We can't substitute a connection, but clearly, we can follow the principles, and there's a principle to intercede. You have permission to pray in this situation and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
And so that just makes room for them to be able to make a decision, or room for them to have revelation. But the enemy doesn't actually listen to me on their behalf.
I wouldn't worry too much about the enemy hearing you. What you're doing is you're invading that space with God's presence. It's God's presence that's going to deal with the enemy, that whatever spirit is causing the bullying or whatever. So you're not interceding in the fact that you're praying against the enemy in their situation. You're interceding in that you're putting yourself in their space and you're bringing God into that situation. We do too much intercession against the enemy. That's not what intercession is. Intercession is drawing heaven into the earthly space. It's not trying to, when we deal with anything, okay, the way that Christ deals with anything that is anti-Christ is Christ doesn't stop being Christ. Okay, I'm trying to come back. I'm back. Let's see if I'm there. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. So I was saying the way that Christ deals with Antichrist is that Christ continues to be Christ. Christ doesn't deal with Antichrist by coming against Antichrist. Antichrist comes against Christ, but Christ doesn't stop being Christ.
That was a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Poor Ted. He's the one doing all the work. We're just sitting here.
It's four in the morning.
Is it four in the morning there?
Yeah. That's actually the next topic I want Ted to bring to the Junction Church is intercession and prayer.
Nice.
So it's kind of awesome that you're asking those questions.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think when he comes back on, we'll let him go.
Yeah.
Because he keeps going anyways.
Yeah.
It's four in the morning.
The Holy Spirit keeps shutting it off.
Yeah. Wants us to meditate on the answer. Oh, he says we're going to have to say goodbye.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye, and thank you,
Marilyn. Good to see you guys.
Bye. Yeah, you too.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
Annalisa, Kyla, Heidi, Danielle. Bye, you guys.
Ciao, guys. Have a good evening. See you Sunday.
He says blessings to everybody.
Jacob.